Reach out to the person on your left and your right. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So, as a matter of review, now we're going to have a pop quiz. Can anyone tell me what we talked about or reflected upon on the first day? I know some people weren't here, but those that were, let's see if you remember and you were able to apply what you learned.
I know that from being versions of ourselves as far as, and I thought a lot about myself.
Did you? Yeah, and it's so easy if that compassion doesn't get birthed, then the opposite can arise.
Yes.
Cynicism, rigidity, anger, hatred, separation. Isn't it wonderful that you're getting in touch with that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been a good student. You're doing your work well. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Jim.
You are never a captive of anything.
That's right. You are free.
Free, yes.
The ultimate freedom. Yes.
And our divine inheritance can overcome anything.
If you can remember that, what great power's in that?
Yes.
The trick is to remember it when we need it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Very good.
Challenged by that thorn and you want to turn it into a flower.
In a rose, yes, as Murshid said. That's exactly right. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Rahim.
There was the practice with the Wazifa in the breathing,
yes.
And the triangle. And,
yes.
For me, that was really significant, the Bhakti button. That's been really meaningful for me. That's been my last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes,
well,
Shakti.
You talked about this briefly, but I was astounded in the first class the way what Pierre had said to us,
yeah,
segued straight into what came through here, in the sense that the quote that you gave early in the teaching was about sometimes that reflection will become manifest even before the physical birth,
yeah,
of a soul or an inherited trait or something. And, of course, that theme is here,
yeah,
straight into that continuity of the chosen belief. And
mm-hmm.
I heard it.
That's right.
So that's what I was
saying. You know, I think about it, too, in terms of nature, because, of course, I'm going to call her Murshida to Mom, was giving us today this whole idea of nature being involved in prayer. And us being part of nature, of course, we're participating in that. And, you know, that this inner life is also part of that, you know, nature, it's maybe even more active than what the external world is for some of us, or for all of us at one time or another. But, you know, you look to nature, it tells us so much. You know, a tree doesn't necessarily get strong when it doesn't have other trees around it. It has to struggle a little bit to get to the light, to get its share of the light. And by doing that, it makes it grow. So in the same way, We maybe have complexity as a veil or these inherited qualities or belief structures. And we have to be a little strong to kind of break free of that. It makes us strong, actually. I think there is great value, I'm sorry to say, people don't like it, in adversity. And I remember the first, as soon as that database became available years ago through the Sufi order, do you remember on our 3.5 inch discs? It wasn't floppy really, it was a rigid, but you know, I was really interested in the subject of what Murshid said about pain and suffering. Because, of course, if you suffer over your suffering or you get caught in your pain and suffering, well, then that's all life is. But if you see it as an agent for change, then it's really transformative. Yes, Rimikita.
Well, what I was struck by from the classes and what really stuck with me was, first of all, the accounting of our attributes. If I look at the attributes that I've received from my heritage or my inheritance of my family, you used the word looking at what hinders us. And that gave me such a different way of thinking of, this is a bad or good trait that I've received, and therefore I just want to get rid of it. It made me look at it from a different, what is it that I've received that's really hindering me? Not that it's good or bad, but that for some reason within this body or who this person is, it hinders me from something.
Yeah.
And that maybe it's okay to have that, but then how do I use it?
Yeah.
In a different way.
Right. Yeah, you can transform the energy of it and make it useful and beautiful. You know, I talk about these things too, because ultimately what that is when we are getting in touch with our divine nature, we are transforming. I mean, this is in a way alchemical. We're transforming these, in Sufi terms, nafs, the ego, the rigid parts, into the ornaments of the soul. See, this is the soul, but we don't see the soul, but we can see the ornaments of the soul as they manifest. And this is why I'm trying to get you to feel something of that within, so that you can give, you know, sort of crown your soul and let it radiate through those beautiful gems. Does that make sense? And here's something else that's really interesting to think about. You know, when you look at a garden, sometimes it's very impressive to see a whole garden of one color flower, or one flower, but it's the variety, right? So there may be not just one singular quality, but many qualities. And maybe they're at some times yabatan, and other times yazahir. Yabatan, yazahir. I think it's wonderful if we can learn to be elastic in that way, fluid and flexible. Also, Tamam was addressing that. She was talking about strength comes from flexibility, not rigidity. Right? Think about this. Anything else that anyone would like to share?
Well, I think because I do have to have the flexibility of not knowing.
Yeah. Okay, I want to share just this one little paragraph with you from the first day, may I? Mm-hmm. Are we okay about the review?
Yes.
Good.
I like to read Murshid's words directly, even if you don't. It's what in Tibetan Buddhism we call the lung. Lung is wind or breath or air. It's the lung transmission, you might say. So you get to hear his words spoken, and they do something, even if you don't immediately grasp them all. Are children who live apart from their parents and brought up by spiritual guardians free from the influence of a parent whose nature is not a good one? This is maybe when a child gets removed from a household. That certainly wasn't your instance, but it helps something to give this a framework. Spiritual influence is unlimited. It can bring about any desired results. It can turn a thorn into a flower. For all these influences of parents or ancestors or inner influences which a soul has brought with it are reflections. So remember, when you're feeling as if you have something in you, you know, I tell you a personal story. Some years ago, I had written to Murshida Vira, and I felt like I was in a state of a kind of stasis, a sort of suspended animation. And I wrote to her, and I said, you know, I just have this sense that there is a purpose that's coming forward, and yet it's not very clear right now, which can be frustrating too. Right? Mm-hmm. And she kind of, again, she was a great lover of nature and the elements, and she, you know, she said, everything has its natural gestation period, and time is relative. And right now, you have an opportunity to be at rest and ease with this while it's being birthed. You know, to rest up and kind of get ready for it to come. So be patient. And of course, you know, Yabat and Yazahir. What is hidden in me? What is my gift to give? You know, and we don't have to be president of the United States. There's a great story, I don't know how it came to me, I think one of my students sent it or something, about Johnny the grocery store sacker. Has anyone seen this story? Is it circulated? Mm-hmm. The young man was had marginal intelligence and had some disabilities, but you know, he had the he wanted to work, he wanted to be useful, and he could be a sacker. You know, the groceries come down, he picks them up, he puts them in the bag. That was something he could do, and he could make his own money and be useful. But something in him thought, I want to do something more. Like, there's something in me that I want to make people feel happy or loved or whatever. So he talked with his dad about it, and he kind of came up with this idea. You know, like, often I can't express my words, but maybe there's something I can do. So they came up with this idea, and they selected quotations, like inspirational quotations, right? And they printed them on the printer and made little slivers of paper. So every time Johnny sacked the groceries, he put one of these in his little, in people's grocery bags. And pretty soon, of course, the line where Johnny was sacking became very large. But it got people talking also, like, oh, I got this great quote, and it was just what I needed. And, you know, it like created a dialogue and this community. Well, I mean, how simple was that? But how beautiful a gift, like just this genuine heart that wanted to give something. That wasn't, you know, he wasn't giving big lectures or teachings or recordings or, you know, dissertations. It was a very simple gesture of generosity and loving kindness. And it changed things. How wonderful. What is it that Mother Teresa says? We may not do great things, but we do small things with great love. Like that. Which maybe is a good lead into this teaching for today, which is from Sufi Message Volume 8, The Privilege of Being Human, on spirituality. Spirituality is natural nobleness. Are you aware of nature right now supporting this? Do you feel the quietude and the spaciousness right now? And happening around us. All of nature's come to listen. Spirituality is natural nobleness. And the unfolding of this innate nobleness is spirituality. So he says it both ways. Spirituality is natural nobleness, and the unfoldment of this innate nobleness is spirituality. It is divine heritage, which is hidden in every soul. And by the manifestation of this divine heritage, a soul shows its divine origin. All striving in the spiritual path is to bring out that nobleness. All striving in the spiritual path is to bring out that nobleness. But one need not strive to bring it out. It will come by itself if one is conscious of one's divine heritage. It will come by itself. So let's again think of these layers of our being. First, this very dense, you might say, appearance, this outer layer, this shroud, this form, this body that we've taken on. The external zikr says, this is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my heart. This is the altar of God. This is not my heart. This is the altar of God. This is not my heart. This is the altar of God. So think of the body then as a temple. And within the temple, there is the altar. And on the altar is this beautiful chalice. And the chalice is actually empty. And what does that emptiness signify? Full potentiality, all possibilities. It's as if we're looking out into the vast spaciousness of what Pirshabda was talking about. Beyond all time, beyond all space, beyond all those conventions. He addressed that earlier. If there's anything in this chalice, this receptive cup, it's just love. Love that contains all forms of compassion, all forms of sincerity, all forms of sympathy. This interconnectedness with the all of the divine qualities. And we're looking into this spacious chalice, and we're completely receptive and open. And we recite the divine names, Ya Batin, Ya Zahir. The one which is veiled, the one which is hidden, and the one which comes to view and manifest. Ya Batin, Ya Zahir. Ya As we breathe in on our whisper, we say, "Bhat." Bring the breath into this temple. Bring it to the altar. Bring it to the chalice. And then as we breathe out, "Sahir," we call forth those divine qualities to manifest in our body, in our speech, in our mind, our divine manner, our natural nobleness, the highest expression of our spirituality. And now just breathe in, concentrating on this, the one that is veiled, the one that is hidden, and breathing out, the one that is manifest, the one that unveils herself, his self, and comes through you. Remember, Jesus said, "Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and you shall receive." Rumi, you must ask for what you really want. Sometimes it takes great courage to manifest. Sometimes it's easier to remain hidden. Dare you to be who you really are. It is this consciousness which brings out the nobleness of spirit. In the Sufi terminology, this nobleness is called Akhlaq Allah, which means the manner of God. A manner which is unlike any other manner known to the world. It is the manner of the mother towards her child, the manner of the father towards his son, the manner of a friend towards his friend, the manner of a maiden towards her beloved. It is the manner of the Lord towards his servant. It is the manner of the child towards his mother. It is the manner of the son towards his father. The manner of the slave towards the king. And yet, it is above and beyond all manners known to mankind. It is humility. It is modesty. It is pride. It is honor. It is kindness. It is graciousness. It is indifference. It is independence. A manner inconceivable to human mentality. A manner which cannot be taught or learned. A manner which springs up by itself and comes forth as a divine blossom. Again, turning that thorn into a flower. And not only the flower is dependent on its form, the fragrance, something more subtle than the flower even, the fragrance. It's like a kind of longing, like this great love song, something that calls forth your being, from your being. It's like a memory, but a great memory. Or we might say, when we remember, remember might be we recall something, but remember also is like calling together all the members, remembering. The great recollection of those divine qualities. So I'd like to give you another wasifa that we can work with. We'll share it. It's a beautiful one because it contains both masculine and feminine principles. We talked about that yesterday with the kasav breath. I just have a little text message here from my husband. The universe speaks in very interesting ways. He's nostalgic for my absence, so he's talking about all my qualities, and he says, are you ready for this? And you smell good, too. People can say many things, but I'm tuned in. My coconut, my wireless coconut is tuned in. Okay. So this wazifa is a long one, and it can be rather complex, and my gosh, the description is incredible in the Physicians of the Heart. But what it means, and I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll spell it for you if you want to write it down. Some of you may have been given this as a wazifa, but it means that all manifestation, it reflects all manifestation of power as well as all manifestation of beauty that come from God's absolute essence. So it's the manifestation of power, of all power, and the manifestation of all beauty. And these come from God's absolute essence. Or we could say fragrance. God smells good, too. So the wazifa, the sacred phrase, begins with Yah. Sometimes it's given without Yah. Here it is given with the Yah, Y-A, which means, oh, most precious, beloved one, the one to whom I belong, and the one who is hidden in me as the most precious secret, Yah. So Yah, Dul, Jalali, Wa Ikram. I'll spell. Intuit it. No. So, The next word is dhal, D-H-A-L. D-H-A-L. Jalali, G-A-L-A-L-I. This is the masculine aspect. Wal, W-A-L. The next word begins with an apostrophe. I-K-R-A-M. So this has this aspect of majesty, an aspect of splendor, of power, or one could say maybe empowerment, of beauty. And again, don't be, the words are insufficient. The word beauty could be like this, you know, the beauty that comes forth from an incredibly wise being. Like that kind of beauty, like this deep understanding, this deep knowing that transmits something from heart to heart, doesn't even require words. It's the manner. And then Ikram is also like a K-R-M in Arabic. Again, I'm calling her Murshida. Tamam was talking about the consonant-based language of Arabic. If it has the embellishments in a certain way, it becomes like Kareem, the generous one, the bountiful one, the one that isn't so giving to us. So in this wazifa, we are so filled with this majesty and splendor, it radiates from us and gifts the world. Does that make sense? But you know, this morning, Pir Shabda was talking about the practice Murshid Sam gave, Muti, Yamuti. And he said, he was talking about the performance of that wazifa, but he also said that in order to accomplish something or gain something. But he said that the other part of that practice was to be able to envision it as part of your being or part of your life. So in, and this is the essence of concentration. You have to concentrate on something for it to manifest. You can't be, oh, I'm interested in this and then I'm gonna go here and I'll learn a little bit of this and you know, it's like, no, take one thing and do it very well. Everything else will, the mastery that is gained from that one thing will influence all things in one's life. This is this ultimate, it's like the great coronation of your soul, right? And your kingliness and queenliness are this just this radiating love and beneficence that just you want to take everyone in your arms and give them all empowerment and beauty and love and generosity just flows forth, okay? You kind of catch a little bit of the essence of it. Words are insufficient, and I apologize if I don't have a full capacity to convey it, but perhaps in the recitation of it, you will feel it. Ya du jala wal ikram. Ya du jala wal ikram. Ya du jala wali krum. 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 Just a moment. Now imagine that this, your temple may look however you wish it to look, but you know, this is like that moment, you know, like you've been in this beautiful sanctuary within, and with this recitation of this wazifa, it's like, you know, when you see the king or the queen come out, you know, the doors open and they come out in the balcony and they're greeting all the people. You know that? You've seen it, yes? Or the Pope. Right? And you might not like him, but I do. But anyway, the whole point is this just this being comes out that everyone's sort of excited about, ready to receive, and they're just there. Okay, so that's when we're whispering this, we're sort of turning around from the altar, and all of this is coming through, and we're going out to greet the world with it. Okay, so get that sense, get that feeling there. So we'll do that again. We'll say it aloud again, and then we'll go into the whisper, and then we'll go into the silence. Ya dul jala wali krum. 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 It is in this manner, this divine manner, that lies the fulfillment of the purpose of one's life. This manner is the highest religion. The true spirituality, real aristocracy, the perfect democracy. All disputes and disagreements, all misunderstandings fall away the moment the human spirit has become noble. For it is the sign of the noble spirit to comprehend all things, to assimilate all things, and therefore to tolerate and forgive all things. Shabda was saying on the first day that yes, sometimes people do things that seem unconscionable, but in another way we can view it in a sympathetic way that maybe they're still unskilled, that those are unskillful actions. I mean, why should we point out that to someone else? There's those great Sufi tales about these magnificent feasts that these noble people have made available. And someone comes to the table and makes a mistake, like knocks over a glass of water or wine, and what does the person do that's their guest or their host? They do the same thing. So the attention, drive all blame into oneself, offer all victories to others. You put the attention on yourself instead of everyone laughing. You don't laugh at the person, you take it. Much better to point out someone's good qualities to help them come up. Sometimes the stick's necessary. I think some of you in the room know that. But sometimes the coconut needs to be cracked open too, so the milk can come forward. For it is the sign of the noble spirit to comprehend all things, to assimilate all things, and therefore to tolerate and forgive all things. For what use is a religion, a philosophy, a mysticism, or whatever you call it, if it does not produce that spirit in you, that inclination which is divine? And if that inclination and that spirit manifest themselves in anything, they show it in the divine manner. Neither in the graciousness of a king, nor in the subservience of a slave, one will find that dignity and that humility which divine manner gives. I had a great teaching from Piro Murshid Hidayat, because often, and I've seen it in print this way, the prayer says, we greet thee with, we often see it printed, with all humility. And Pir Hidayat, and I was very happy about this. He really yelled at me in front of people, and I wasn't embarrassed. I started laughing. He said, what is the matter with you? You're laughing. I said, I'm so happy that you've taught me this, you know? It's really, it was a great lesson. He said, you don't come with anything. What are you giving? You come in humility, not with humility, in humility. It's a very different feeling, that one word, isn't it? Think about it. Du jala wali krum. Ya 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 du jala wali krum. In the breath, catch that fragrance. Is not man the seed of God? Is it then not his purpose to bring forth divine blossoms? It is not by working wonders that man shows his divine origin, nor is it by possessing extraordinary powers. If in anything divine origin is seen, if in anything divine origin is seen, it is in the aristocracy of the human soul. It is in the democracy of the human ego. If in anything divine origin is seen, it is in the aristocracy of the human soul. It is in the democracy of the human ego. In the world, we see that there is aristocracy and that there is democracy. But in spiritual unfoldment, these two become one. culminating in real perfection. So on the first day, we did a breath that was called, it was a triangle breath, and we only did the aspect of it that was Jamal, that was beauty. Today, I would like to suggest that we do Jamal and Jalal, both. I'll give you the instructions. We'll let the breath be a little more expansive than on the first day. You notice perhaps a shift in the transmission of these teachings from day to day. Things are becoming more subtle. Raise us above the denseness of the earth. Here I want you to put perhaps pose the question or be receptive to allowing inspiration to unfold. Okay. So there may be, it can be something very, if you want to test it, because it's a very useful breath, you could, if there's a situation of a challenge right now for you, maybe that's what you concentrate on. If you want to more understand what some of your divine inheritance is and ways in which you might manifest it, you can sort of put that seed there. Because in the first part of the breath, we're trying to seek this inspiration. We're trying to let the aspiration, come through in inspiration. So visualize, and it is good if you visualize this triangle again on your forehead. You can visualize it as a solid, somewhat solid form, like in other words, a triangle of light there. But as we do the breath, you trace the outward shape of the triangle with your breath. So the first breath, we're going to breathe in through the right nostril. We're going to hold, it's an inverted triangle, we're going to hold across the top of the triangle, and we're going to breathe out the left nostril. Now again, a test. Does anyone remember what this right nostril is representing? What energy? Sorry?
The masculine.
The masculine, which also is indicating
power,
strength, dynamics, courage, right? So now we're going to bring that energy in through the right nostril. We're going to hold and we're going to let that sort of get intensified. And then we're going to surrender it to this receptive part of our being. Okay? And we're going to be receptive to perhaps what may come through at that point. Okay? Then we're going to switch it. And we're going to breathe in through the left nostril, hold, and breathe out the right nostril. So then the left nostril is representing what?
The receptive.
The receptive and?
Feminine.
Jamal and beauty and grace and charm. And that then is going to come be empowered and intensified and released to the Jalal side. Okay. Let's just see what happens. It's an experiment, right? All great teachers, and I'm not one of them, but for example, the Dalai Lama, Pierre Shabda, Comte Rinpoche, many others, they always say, you don't have to believe me. You have to check it for yourself and see if it's true. A little bit of faith also helps. Okay. So just be relaxed. And I'll talk us through the breath together. And I'd like to propose that I'll first talk us through. May I ask that everyone in the group use their fingers to close off their nostrils. And when you're finished with the first breath, which again I'll give you instructions on.
I'm so sorry. It will go away.
I thought it was the rave again. Don't do that. I'll start dancing and I won't be able to stop. So again, the first breath is going to go in through the right nostril. We're going to hold and out through the left nostril. Again, then we'll go in through the right nostril, hold, out through the left nostril. Again, we're going to go in through the right nostril, hold, and out through the left nostril. Do it 5 times. Okay? When you're finished with that, this is the one where you're seeking inspiration. You're asking, what are those divine qualities? What is my divine inheritance? What is my divine heritage? And perhaps you also say, how may I give this to the world? Or if there's a situation in your life right now that seems complex, put that there. And use the breath to help reveal something that maybe is hidden right now from your view of how to resolve something. This breath can be used in a lot of different ways for that purpose. When you're finished with the 5 breaths, if you'll just put your hand down and then just go to a very relaxed breath and just a receptivity. Then once you've done that, I can see if everyone's completed that and we'll begin then the continuation of the breath, which will go in the left nostril, hold, out the right, in the left, hold, out the right, in the left, hold, out the right, 5 times. Okay? Got it? I didn't suggest any color. Let's do 5, 5, 5. But we'll do it 5 times, right? Each 2. Okay? You know, Hiram Murshid Hazaret and Icon, he loved that number 5. The 5 elements, the 5 breaths, the star. You know, 5 was very big for him. Well, he was born on the 5th and he died on the 5th.
I have to do something.
So we're holding the left nostril. We're breathing in through the right. We're holding and out through the left. For a period, 5, count of 5, 4, in count of 5, hold for a count of 5, out for a count of 5, and always in this breath, we're going in right and out left and holding in between. And begin and go at your own pace. But you know, allow the question or the thought to arise or the intention of having something revealed that ya batin ya zagir. The next breath, again, as a reminder, goes in through the left nostril. We hold and out through the right. This breath is the Jalal breath informed by your inspiration or the Jamal aspect of your being. This is the breath that will help you to actualize the inspiration. To actualize it. So we breathe in through the count of 4 through the left, tracing the inverted triangle, the left side. We hold for the count of 5, and then out through the right nostril. And you know, just sit. See if you hear something. See if you see something afterwards. Just let it, see what arises. If nothing arises, then maybe it's patience that's required right now. Or patience that will be manifesting through your being, or spaciousness or emptiness. So don't worry if you don't get like, oh my gosh, I've got this big unfoldment, a 5-point plan or a 7-point plan or whatever. So now we hold, again, we breathe in left, hold out right. 5 complete breaths, count to 5 for each part of the triangle. Yadu jala wali kram. 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 Jala wali kram. O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. And if you didn't kiss the person's hand that kissed yours, do it now, please. If you didn't kiss the person's hand who kissed yours, kiss that now. If you didn't kiss the hand on the right and the left of you, please do so now. Perfect. Then it's perfect and it's complete. God bless. Aklak Allah. And inshallah, some of us will continue tomorrow. Yeah, we have one more day.
You'd be running up.